This is On Target St. John's, a look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Good afternoon, everyone. A beautiful day heading into our weekend, and by all accounts, it's going to be a lovely weekend as well. So I do hope that whatever you happen to be at this weekend, you're able to get outdoors and enjoy some of that beautiful weather. Of course, we're not going to be enjoying it very much longer. The days are certainly drawing in rather quickly, and we're all getting that reminder that we're soon going to be into the cold and blustery winter. Hopefully, the gods are watching us closely this year and won't be downloading another Snowmageddon on us, but that's it. Hopefully that's one in every 50-year storm or something like that. Well, with the colder weather comes flu season, of course, and the provincial government is working on implementing measures to try and get as many people out as possible to get their flu shot this year. Influenza, as you may know, is a very serious illness. This isn't just the sniffles now. Influenza is serious. It hits vulnerable populations the hardest. And each year, the illness sends dozens of people, if not hundreds, to hospital. And in 2018, 39 people died in Newfoundland and Labrador after contracting the flu. Now, the flu's progress was stopped in its tracks last season as the country went into lockdown. But this year, things are different. Schools have reopened, and people are getting back to the workplace. And, we're trying to get back to some sense of normalcy living with COVID-19. But that causes some problems. Officials are fearful of a so-called double pandemic of the flu and COVID-19 that could have devastating impacts, not only on the population, but on the healthcare system itself. Well, among the measures being taken is allowing pharmacists to administer the flu shot free of charge to the public. And here to speak a little bit more about the role of pharmacists in all of this is a local pharmacist, Christina Myers. She's with PharmaSave in Holyrood. Hi, Christina.
Hello, Linda. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. All this came together rather late last night, so
yes.
I apologize for all the back and forth there, but so happy that we were able to make this work. So pharmacists, of course, have been administering the flu shot for quite a few years now, but what will be different this year?
So the Pharmacy Association of Newfoundland and Labrador has been lobbying for our inclusion in the universal flu vaccine program for some time. And we're lucky enough to be included this year. And what that simply means is that this year, patients will not have to pay out of pocket when they come to the pharmacy. For people 5 and up, the vaccine will be fully covered. This is particularly important because, of course, we're among the most accessible healthcare providers with hundreds of pharmacies in Newfoundland. Many of us have hours that can accommodate those in the workforce. So, of course, many of us are open on evenings and weekends. So we can schedule flu shots that work around your schedule to ensure that you're getting vaccinated this season. We're already an integral member of the healthcare team. We're intimately aware of your medications, your conditions. So giving you the flu shot this season is just another step in the process for us.
So how will that work, let's say, for instance, in your practice?
So it'll be a little bit different than previous years. So in previous years, typically you could just trot on into your pharmacy and get a flu shot right out the gate. This year, given the social distancing guidelines and, maximum caps on the amount of people allowed in the dispensary at a time, most things will be on an on-appointment basis, and we'll start scheduling those in the coming weeks now once we get a little bit more direction from public health. We're also probably going to look a little bit different. So this year, when you get your flu vaccine, your pharmacist is going to have what's called protective personal equipment on. So we might be wearing a face shield or safety glasses, as well as a mask. And some of us will have gloves on as well. And you yourself will come in wearing a mask. When you come in addition to the usual influenza screening process, we'll also do a COVID screening process. This will be very similar to most of what you do when you enter Eastern Health buildings now, where we just screen you for the symptoms of COVID-19. We still hope to provide the same, friendly and happy service. We're just going to be under a couple of extra layers this year.
So will that require more resources? It's going to take a bit of time. And of course, I would imagine there's some cleaning up that has to be done before and after, that kind of stuff. So that's going to require a little time out of a pharmacist's busy routine. Will you require extra resources?
Most definitely. So I think that for a lot of pharmacies, that's going to be a big part of the appointment process. So we're going to be doing flu shots. I know in my practice, we're going to be doing them quite a bit more spread out than we usually would. So we'll probably be having, you know, half the amount of people we usually do in the same amount of time to spread out a little bit more over the season. So we can ensure that we're doing proper sanitization processes in between. Some pharmacies will likely have on additional staff. But I am confident that I know my practice will be able to do it, and many other pharmacies should be able to participate this year as well.
Have clients been seeking this out? Are they asking you about this?
Yes. So every year we do get quite a few inquiries about the flu vaccination, but in our practice alone, I would say we're getting probably 150% more inquiries this year than we have in previous years. So we do anticipate quite a successful season in terms of the amount of people getting vaccinated.
Has there been any indication from, you know, just the inquiries that you've been receiving, what kind of people are probably going to be more likely to seek out their flu shot this year through a pharmacy? Would it be some of your older clients? Would it be families with young children? Any indicator there?
So I'm thrilled to say that, honestly, it's been right across the board. So we've had a number of seniors looking into it, but we've had families and we've had workplaces looking as well. So, of course, as you said, Newfoundland has a high level of what we call vulnerable populations, which simply means that people are more likely to suffer complications if they're part of this population. This includes diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease, pregnant people, and many others. But even people that aren't members of this vulnerable population, chances are you yourself come into contact with these populations, and people are really starting to address that this year. And this year, more than ever, it's critical that everyone get their flu shot. You know, we've got the second wave of the COVID pandemic looming over us, and the flu shot won't protect you from COVID-19, but you want to protect yourself from influenza for a number of reasons. Primarily, if you have the flu, it's going to make you more vulnerable to a harsher attack of COVID-19, so it might complicate your treatment. And it's also really difficult to differentiate between the flu and COVID-19. The symptoms are very similar. You know, we see headache, cough, muscle aches, and fatigue. So everyone getting a flu shot can also reduce possible unnecessary testing for COVID-19 because, of course, the symptoms are very, very similar. And we often think of influenza and COVID as elderly diseases, but, you know, this is going to affect all of us. We see a lot of young people put out with influenza as well. It results in a lot of sick days and a lot of missed work. So we are thrilled that we're seeing, you know, young families and basically all ages across the board inquiring about it this year.
I know one little fella last year in my extended circle who ended up in hospital last year because of influenza. What a dreadful illness it can be. And it struck this poor little guy really hard. So luckily he recovered, but he was in a hospital for an extended period. So it's very important.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, we do think of it as an older person's disease, but, you know, a lot of people and a lot of children with asthma and other immunosuppressive diseases are also susceptible to complications from the flu. I mean, I know myself, I have asthma, so I'm more likely to suffer complications. And we tend to think of it, again, as something for older people, but it really is something that affects people all across the board. And that's what we're seeing with the novel coronavirus as well, that it's not just affecting old people. You know, we've seen it affect children and young people right across the age board.
Pharmacies, of course, have been seeking this out. This free service to the public have been seeking it out for quite some time, and I want to address that a little bit when we come back. My guest today on Target St. John's is Christina Myers. She is a pharmacist with Holyrood PharmaSave. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. My guest today is with Holyrood PharmaSave. It is Christina Myers. She's a pharmacist there. And we've been talking about the role that pharmacists are playing this year in providing free flu shots to the public. They've been supplying flu shots, of course, to the public for a couple of years now. But Christina, this is something that pharmacies have been seeking out for quite some time. Is this a perfect storm now that allows you to do exactly what you had hoped you could do?
Most definitely. So to be honest, we have been giving flu shots for years now, and it's something that we had felt should be covered by the government for some time. So it's basically something that we were already doing, and we've just been lobbying for the government to pay for it because, of course, When people get flu shots and we see less influenza, it's less of a strain on the healthcare system, and it ultimately costs the government less in the long term. So we just felt it was something that should be covered anyways. And it was a limiting factor for some people. So we're hoping now that that cost barrier is gone, that we can really reach our target of 80% vaccination this year.
Are you hopeful that this will continue, or do you think this is going to be a one-off?
I don't think this will be a one-off. I'm hopeful that this is just the beginning, because of course pharmacies are extremely accessible, and this is huge for Newfoundlanders to be able to just have another location where they can access free flu vaccination. And I think that if we do see less of influenza this year, especially because COVID's going to be with us for years, even if we do get a vaccine, you know, this is an evolving situation. We need to have as many defenses as we can for the upcoming flu season. And I don't think this will change in the next couple of years. So I do think it's just the beginning for pharmacies getting involved.
Is there a greater role for pharmacists in helping to streamline the healthcare system that we have now?
Most definitely. So in addition to the flu vaccination, pharmacists can provide all sorts of other vaccinations, some of which you don't actually need to see another healthcare prescriber to get prescribed. For example, pharmacists can now do the shingles vaccine, the hepatitis A and B vaccines, along with many others. So this reduces the need to basically go see the physician to get a prescription for those. You can go right to your pharmacy, and that certainly takes burden off the healthcare system. During the beginning of the COVID pandemic, we were utilizing a lot of what we call medication management. Specifically with that, we were doing a lot of extensions. So oftentimes with the uncertainty of whether doctors' offices were open, we had a number of patients running out of their medications prior to being able to contact their healthcare providers. So what we were doing was providing what we call an extension. So if you ran out of a certain medication, we can actually bridge that gap with additional medication until you're able to speak to your prescriber again. This is something that we've been doing for years anyway, but particularly with the pandemic, we were utilizing it more and more. With the lower levels, and once we started moving around a little bit more, we were using what's called an interim supply. So say if you're on your staycation and you leave St. John's and you go out to Bonavista for the weekend, but you've left your medication at home, you can actually stop into a pharmacy and they can often provide you with a small amount of medication to get you through your staycation until you get back into St. John's. So again, this is something that we've always offered, but we're using it particularly more and more now that people are starting to move around. Lastly, pharmacists are actually able to prescribe for a number of conditions as well. These are what are called minor ailments. To name a few, we can actually prescribe for mild acne, cold sores, and thrush. And this is where we actually assess you like other healthcare providers would. And if we deem it necessary, we can actually give you medication and treat you for these conditions. Minor ailments prescribing is something that panel's actually still fighting for coverage for with the government, but this is certainly something that can be used to take the burden off of other healthcare practitioners, because they can come right to the pharmacy for these conditions, and it can free up the space in, say, physician clinics for more severe conditions that we can't treat at the pharmacy level. So we're certainly an asset.
And it sounds like it's just an extension of what pharmacists do anyway, because I know lots of people come in all the time and say, you know, I have a bit of a scratchy throat. What's the best medication I can take? And then a pharmacist will come out and bring you down the aisle and say, well, there's this and there's this, you know, that kind of thing. So is that sort of an extension on those, you know, usual everyday services that you provide?
Most definitely. So basically, over the last couple of years, we've just been putting names to what we've been doing already throughout our practices, right? So we've always been doing extensions and interim supplies, and we've always been treating you for minor ailments. We're just formalizing them a little bit more and expanding the scope of what's included under those.
What kind of a relationship do pharmacists develop with their patients or clients?
So, of course, every pharmacist might answer this differently. I'd like to think of my relationship with my patients and clients as professional but comfortable. So professional in that I want my patients to be confident in the care that I provide, but I also want them to be comfortable with me. I like to think of myself as someone who's approachable and someone that they know they can come to without judgment. So with my patients, I feel that they're comfortable enough with me, you know, to tell me they can't quite kick the smoking habit, and they're not ashamed to tell me that. I want them to be able to tell me if they've gone home, you know, and they've read their handout and they're nervous about taking a medication because of the side effects. And particularly this season, I'd like to think that my patients are comfortable enough with me that they'll be able to address any concerns they have about the influenza vaccine. So with our patients, our relationship is quite close. Of course, I'm a member of the community that I practice in. So in addition to a professional relationship, a lot of these people are part of my community. They're my neighbors. So I do want to see them healthy, and I want to see them do well.
What about the relationships you develop with physicians? I'm thinking in terms of, let's say something happens, somebody ends up in an emergency room, they're prescribed a certain type of medication for whatever it is they've presented with, but their GP doesn't know. They bring that prescription into you and you go, whoa, wait a minute, you can't take this because you're on this. What kind of a role do you play in those kinds of scenarios?
So drug interactions are basically a pillar in the pharmacy day to day. You know, we can you'll see drug interactions right across the board. Some medications are toxic together. Some medications might make the side effect of another medication you're taking worse. Sometimes two medications can actually cancel out how each other worked and you won't have the desired effect. So when we come across those situations, we will oftentimes liaise with both the emergency prescriber as well as the family physician to come up with a solution that works. Sometimes you don't even need to go that far. Sometimes it's worth having a conversation with the patient to discuss options with them. Sometimes it might involve holding a medication or changing the medication or reducing the dose of the medication or a combination of all of those things. Luckily, in Newfoundland now, we have what's called the pharmacy network. So if you're in emergency, you can't make it out to your regular pharmacy if you're out in Bay Roberts somewhere and you need to go somewhere in St. John's. Pharmacies are actually now connected in a way that we can actually log on and see your profile and address those interactions by seeing what you're already taking.
Is that true of all pharmacies, or is it just, you know, certain pharmacies that are connected through corporate associations, if you know what I mean?
No, not at all. So now all pharmacies are connected to the pharmacy network. So whether you go to a big box pharmacy or a small pharmacy, we're all going to be online, and we all have the ability to look up your full medication profile.
And you mentioned that whole staycation thing. I'm sure there was quite a few people who might have been in Gander or Bay Vert or Ballorum or Portabasque and say, oh my goodness, I forgot to renew my prescription. You mentioned that before. Was there any kind of problems that people would encounter in those kinds of scenarios?
So we've had the range of medications that we can provide in term supplies where we've had that broadened since the COVID pandemic started. So we don't anticipate a whole lot of problems in providing an interim supply. So from my own experience, honestly, the biggest barrier I see is coverage issues because, of course, if you've had your 3-month supply, say, of medication at home, there is a chance that that medication that's provided in interim supply will not go through your insurance. So that's often the biggest barrier I see is sometimes there's a bit of a cost barrier. But in terms of actually providing the medication, if it's something that the pharmacy has on hand and it's a chronic medication for someone, we don't often encounter any issues with the actual dispensing of, say, the interim supply.
Are there certain medications, I imagine there are, that you simply can't extend? And do people have a hard time understanding that?
So again, prior to the COVID pandemic, there was quite a few limits on what we can do. That has since broadened. So it's basically, there's a number of prescriptions we can do that as long as it's within a given pharmacist comfort level to prescribe and they can see and have access online. Certainly if it's something the patient hasn't had in a while, say they might have something that they use intermittently, but it's not as intuitive, say that they use it chronically, we might have a little bit of a hard time prescribing it, but medications for example, some anxiety medications. We weren't able to extend those prior to the COVID pandemic, but Health Canada actually broadened what we can do, so we're actually able to do substantially more now. So again, it's different from pharmacy to pharmacy. I always encourage people to contact the pharmacy and explain your situation first, just to make sure we don't have any questions for you. But certainly I will say that it is completely broadened with the medications we're able to do that with.
My guest today on Target St. John's is Christina Myers. She's with PharmaSave in Holyrood, and we've been talking about the role that pharmacists play in the healthcare system. And I'm going to leave you with this before we go to break. Are there any types of things that pharmacists do that might surprise the public? I'll let you ponder on that while we go to break, and we'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. My guest today on Target St. John's is Christina Myers. She's with PharmaSave in Holyrood, and we're talking about the role that pharmacists play in the community and in assisting the healthcare system. And before the break, I put to Christina a question. Is there anything that pharmacists do that might surprise the public that they might not normally know? Is there anything that you commonly do that people might not be aware of?
So the first thing that comes to mind when I think of something that people are often surprised about is when you get your medication, we actually have access to your online profile, and we can actually assess your lab values to see how appropriate a medication is. One particular example would be when you come in to get an antibiotic, we can check your kidney function online now, and we can actually assess whether it's an appropriate dose for you or not. If you're someone that, say, gets a cholesterol medication chronically and you get blood work to look at that, we can actually go online and we can actually answer your questions if that cholesterol medication's working for you, if you should be following up with your physician possibly to adjust it. We can also access online blood work to see if you're a diabetic and if your sugar levels are at target. So people are often surprised about the vast information that we have access to and what we can do with that information. Pharmacists are often underutilized in terms of how many questions we can answer. You know, we are a very accessible resource, and we're just one phone call away from answering questions about your medication therapy, particularly now that we have higher wait times, you know, to see your regular prescribers. We're always there to answer questions and bridge the gap in your care whenever we can.
Do you ever come across scenarios where you might receive a prescription and it calls for a certain amount over a certain amount of time, and you might say, I mean, need to check with the physician on this one, you know, where you question the dosage amounts?
Almost definitely. So dosage amounts kind of go hand in hand with drug interactions. Frequently, we'll get prescriptions for a patient where the dose just doesn't make sense. So whether that be that the patient's actually on a higher or a lower dose and the dose change wasn't intended, many times we'll get antibiotics for elderly patients with reduced kidney function, and we'll then change the dose accordingly. And sometimes we might actually change the drug to something else altogether. So dose changes is actually something we do in our daily practice very, very frequently. A lot of this is being done now over the fax and the phone. So it's certainly the way in which we've been conducting our jobs has changed a lot, because a lot of this used to take place with the patient in person, and now quite a bit of it's done over the phone and liaising with the prescriber, whether it be on the phone or over the fax. But yep, certainly dose changes is something that we do every single day.
Does that put you in conflict with physicians, or is it a pretty easygoing relationship there?
I've been very lucky in my community. You know, I can't speak for everybody, but with regard to dose changes, so of course, when we're calling for a dose change, we're calling for a reason, you know, whether it be that the patient has reduced kidney function, maybe they can't tolerate that higher dose. So often if there is a reason for something, we will be basically hand in hand with the prescriber. They also have the patient's best interests at heart. And because we have the same goal, oftentimes I don't find that we're in conflict with each other. And, you know, they might just have not noticed that the patient has reduced kidney function, or they might not have known that the patient tried that higher dose in the past and couldn't tolerate it. Sometimes they don't have the full picture. So I've been quite lucky in that I don't find myself in conflict. Not to say that there's never a conflict, but we're very lucky here in Holyrood to have a great relationship with the prescribers in the area.
How are we doing with pharmacists overall in Newfoundland and Labrador? Do we have the right complement for the population? Could we use more?
So pharmacists are a huge asset. So I would always think that we could use more in Newfoundland across the board, just because, again, we're very accessible. We're very educated on people's medication therapies, but certainly we have over 200 community pharmacies in Newfoundland. So I do feel well equipped with the level of pharmacies that we have. Certainly COVID has tested that. We were seeing very, very high volumes of prescription call-ins and refills at the beginning of COVID, so that was quite challenging. But since the levels have gone down, everyone's kind of getting back to their new normal, I would say that we do certainly have an appropriate level for this province. That's not to say that you won't see more pharmacies open in the future, and we always encourage that, because, again, the more pharmacists we have, it's just more of an asset to the province, because we are the most accessible healthcare professionals.
Are you getting the kind of support you need from government and other, other organizations?
Certainly. So again, speaking from my own practice, I certainly feel that we are. For this flu season, the government has actually announced that they will be providing us with protective personal equipment. And that was something that we were acutely aware of course, because when flu season was coming, we weren't sure if we were going to, say, have enough equipment to do the vaccines. And if we did have enough equipment, were we going to have to then charge the patients to, compensate for the amount we were spending on personal protective equipment? But we're absolutely thrilled that the government's going to be providing that for us. So again, people are going to be able to get their flu shots and they're going to be completely free.
What about non-prescription drugs? Is it important for pharmacists to know how people are using or even abusing non-prescription drugs and how they interact with prescription medication?
Most definitely. So we always recommend that when you're picking up an over-the-counter product, that you check with either your regular pharmacist or the pharmacist that's in that store to see if that medication interacts with your medical therapy. So, of course, we're seeing many, many people picking up cough and cold products nowadays, again, especially with the second wave looming over us. So we're seeing many people just picking up products to have on hand. It's important to keep in mind that a number of over-the-counter products that are advertised for cough and cold have tons of ingredients in them, and they contain products like decongestants. These can increase your blood pressure, especially if you're on blood pressure medication anyways. They can include products to treat fever like Tylenol or Advil, and Advil can be hard on the kidneys. Sometimes there's people that can't take Advil. So there are a number of medications in these cough and cold products that can interact with many, many prescriptions that people are taking behind the counter. And for that matter, we often see people picking up products that interact with each other. So we see a lot of people picking up cough and, say, Tylenol cold and sinus, just a medication off the counter, and they're also picking up Neocitrin, because we take all these products when we're sick. Those actually have a lot of the same ingredients in them and can do more harm than good if they're both taken together in high amounts. So it's always important to check with your pharmacist to make sure that you can check that you can take the medication with what you're already taking. And if you want to take any of these products together, it's always a good idea to check and see if there's any overlap in what these actual products contain.
COVID-19 has opened our eyes to an awful lot of things. Did you encounter any shortages as a result of the pandemic, or are there shortages in certain drugs anyway?
So for sure. So when the news about the pandemic first came out in Newfoundland, I can compare this to, of course, when we were seeing Costco running out of toilet paper. People were doing the same thing with their medications. So people, were panicking a little bit and they wanted to get their refills early because people were very scared that pharmacies were going to shut down at some point and that they weren't going to get access to their medications. Because this was behavior that was Canada-wide, we were actually seeing a number of drug shortages. And this was back around, say, March. March. So we were actually seeing shortages right across the board, which is why the Canadian Pharmacists Association actually had put out a countrywide mandate for us to be only dispensing 30 days medication at a time. This was very, very, very challenging because, of course, we had to limit people. It was difficult for people to understand why. In addition to that, we were having these very large volumes of prescriptions being called in because, again, everyone was just very nervous that their pharmacy was going to shut down at some point with no idea when it would reopen. Luckily, that didn't happen, but we were seeing shortages there for a time. That has since normalized. So at the pharmacy level, of course, we always see some products going short, but we don't have any notable shortages at this time, and we've been able to return to a normal dispensing supply since. And over the summer, we were having supply issues, particularly with inhalers and products that had an overlap with COVID. So, of course, COVID is a respiratory illness, so there was a shortage with some inhalers, and we've even seen that normalize. So right now, we are actually quite stable in terms of the drug supply, keeping in mind that with the drug supply worldwide, we're always going to have intermittent shortages of some products, but right now it's nothing notable, basically.
Do you expect any more shortages with this second wave now hitting parts of the country?
So I'm not an expert in that area, but what I would say is that if the second wave were to hit and we start seeing shutdowns again, we might anticipate the same sort of it's a kind of panic. It's the same thing again with toilet paper and the groceries. People want to stock up on supply. So if we do start seeing shutdowns, we might start seeing that again. But I don't anticipate anything close to what it was when the pandemic first hit in the wintertime. And I think that's because, you know, again, this is our new normal now. When this was happening with the drug shortages earlier in the year, this was the first time a lot of us have lived through anything like this. So I can't blame people for being a little bit nervous and being a little bit more cautious. But now that this is our new normal, I don't foresee the same type of panic. I think we're more than prepared for the second wave.
How were pharmacists able to continue their practice through the lockdown period? I know you're considered an essential worker, but did that present any difficulties?
Most definitely. So, I mean, for me, we're a small community pharmacy. You know, it's me and my husband and our wonderful student and an assistant. So we're a very small staff store, and this was a complete learning experience. Myself and my husband were actually university students with H1N1, and I was quite young during the SARS outbreak in Ontario. So this was the first time I've ever actually worked through a pandemic. So it was a learning experience for us. Luckily, it didn't change a lot in terms of my interactions with patients or my quality of care, but it certainly changed the medium. So with the outbreak first coming out with the pandemic, we tried to encourage people to do anything that could be discussed over the phone. We discussed it over the phone, and we started offering no contact delivery, so patients didn't have to enter the store if they didn't want to. This was specifically useful for patients who are members of the vulnerable populations, of course. So we offered no contact delivery to them and anybody that wanted it. For the short period of time while we got the hang of disinfecting the entire place, high-touch space, high-touch areas, all that stuff, we'd actually reduced our hours temporarily, but we didn't experience any shutdowns. But it was definitely, it was a new way of practicing for sure. And now we've kind of gotten into the groove. We're all wearing our PPE when we're working, and we have plexiglass up, and it's basically a constantly evolving thing. It's a learning experience for me for sure.
My guest today on Target St. John's is Christina Myers. She's a pharmacist with Holyrood PharmaSave. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
My guest today is Christina Myers. She's a pharmacist with Holyrood PharmaSave. And Christina, we were talking about the role that pharmacists can play, and we're seeing an increased role now in places like Ontario, where COVID tests are now being offered through the pharmacies, or will be soon. Is that something that pharmacies or pharmacists in this province could do if we see a similar spike in numbers here?
I certainly think it's a possibility. Now, of course, the answer will vary from pharmacy to pharmacy, depending on their staffing levels and their capabilities at a specific site. I know with our practice, it would be certainly something that we would be interested in looking into. Again, making sure that we're provided with adequate PPE and that we have the appropriate social distancing protocols in place. I certainly think that it's something that Newfoundland pharmacists would also be open to discussing. It's not something in Newfoundland that I don't think it's on the table quite yet, but I know that we are certainly open to it.
And please God, we don't see that second wave
yes,
here. We're
exactly.
hopefully able to control it as we have been doing.
100%.
CNN is reporting that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is now warning about a new TikTok challenge resulting in injury and deaths among teens through the misuse of certain over-the-counter allergy medication. Is that the kind of thing that pharmacists keep an eye on when you suddenly see a greater interest in certain products?
Most definitely. So we're always aware that some products, you know, can be abused. And it seems with TikTok challenges, I mean, we've been seeing this even before the age of TikTok with kids using all sorts of stuff just to try to make videos. So misuse of allergy meds is certainly something that we're aware of. You know, we're always counseling people on the proper use of allergy pills, even when you're using them properly for allergies. And certainly these any medications that we see when they're used over the prescribed amounts, it can be quite harmful. So it's something that we're always trying to counsel people on. This is where I think too that parents should be talking to their children about using medications properly. And for example, it's not just allergy medication. I mean, if we see this challenge with other medications, lots of over-the-counter drugs, I mean, something as simple as Tylenol, if taken in higher amounts, can be quite toxic to the system. So I think pharmacists as well as parents have a role to play there with educating children on the harms associated with taking any medication in over a prescribed amount or simply when you don't need to take that medication.
Is it something that if you start noticing a trend, would you be willing to limit the supply or bring it back behind the counter? Or how would you counteract something like that?
So that is certainly one way that we address that issue. So if there is a medication that we know is commonly being abused, we can actually put it behind the counter in what we call a Schedule 2 area, where you actually have to talk with the pharmacist before requesting that product. We do that with medications already, so it's not something out of this world that we would do that with escalating some of these products. And in our practice, we already do that with some medications. So medications that we are legally allowed to keep out on the shelf, there are some that we actually opt to keep behind the counter because I'd like to discuss it with the patient first. So with something like the TikTok challenge, where we're seeing them pick up more and more allergy meds, we certainly would identify the medications that are being used in this challenge, and we can certainly move them behind the counter. In small dispensaries as well, I'm often present or within view when we're checking out a patient or anybody for a product over the counter. So certainly in this situation, if we saw young people picking up lots of allergy medications or any allergy medications, we do have the opportunity to, you know, right there at the checkout, ask them, are they using it for allergies? Have they used this medication before? And hopefully have some sort of intervention there as well.
More and more pharmacies, of course, playing a very important role in helping to manage people with addictions. Is that becoming a bigger part of practice these days?
Yes. So opioid addiction services is something that many pharmacies in Newfoundland offer, and it does certainly seem to be on the rise. This seems to be another Canada-wide issue on its own. You know, we're seeing more and more young people getting addicted. And opioid addiction services is certainly a way to offset that. And I think it's going to be a bigger and bigger role in pharmacies with time, for sure.
Does methadone cause pharmacists any particular concerns when you have that kind of thing on hand and, you know, there's a great interest in it, of course?
So in terms of actually carrying it in the pharmacy, I mean, we do carry some kind of high diversion products in the pharmacy. So I don't think the carrying of the methadone would have any additional concern, basically, compared to what we already carry. So it wouldn't be something there that concerns me. Most of the time when pharmacies consider addiction services, it's basically just on a, can they offer it? Do you have the staff to offer it? Because, of course, it's more patients to the practice. So it's just basically seeing what pharmacies can accommodate it. In terms of like diversion or anything like that, I don't see many concerns with actually carrying the product itself, if that makes sense.
Certainly, but we have seen a lot of break-ins and thefts from pharmacies in the last number of years involving opioids. Does that cause added concern as well? Is there, special measures that need to be put in place in storing those kinds of medications?
Most definitely. So I would actually say that carrying opioids in general, so of course, methadone is used as an opioid replacement therapy. There's actually a greater risk with pharmacies carrying opioids themselves, which of course comes with the territory of practice because people are using them legitimately for pain as well. Pharmacies in Newfoundland are actually required to keep their narcotic products in a safe that's bolted to the ground. Like at my own store, we actually have a buzz door system, so anybody entering the dispensary actually has to buzz, and we can see them on camera when we get in. And there's all sorts of security measures you can have in place. We have minimum security requirements in the pharmacy with the pharmacy board in Newfoundland, and you can go above and beyond that. But the biggest thing for us is for break-in diversion would be carrying those products in a locked safe. So that safe is often locked, and when you leave the dispensary in the evening, you lock it as well. So it would be quite challenging to break in and get it. I mean, of course, we've seen in the news that's not impossible, but anything we can do there to protect ourselves for sure.
Is there a role that pharmacists can play when it comes to the prescription of opioids? Someone who legitimately needs it for pain management, keeping an eye on dosages, making sure that the dependence doesn't build up, if you know what I mean?
Most definitely. So pharmacists and prescribers often work together to ensure that patients are getting the lowest amount of opioid doses in the shortest term, in the shortest time periods possible. We often counsel people on the first time they get a medication. This often involves finding out the reason for the medication and assessing appropriate doses. So we actually do reserve the right, say, if you're dropping off an opioid for the first time and perhaps you've never had one before, we actually do reserve the right if we think the quantity is too high or we think the dose is too high, we will actually liaise with the practitioner to try to lower and limit the dose, again, to the shortest amount possible.
That's a lot of responsibility.
It is, but I do feel I know myself, I can speak for myself here, but I do feel adequately prepared with the knowledge base that we have and the education we've been given to assess people for their level of pain. And I'm always confident liaising with prescribers to try to limit that with people.
And a lot of responsibility overall. You've outlined quite a few areas where pharmacists play such a vital role and are often quietly doing so behind the counter, talking to patients face-to-face on a one-on-one basis. But such an important role from what you've been outlining here.
Most definitely, and I know you'll talk to a lot of my colleagues are quite humble, and we say, it's just part of the job. But I know myself with our pharmacy, I do take a lot of pride in what I do. It's a lot of work and it's a lot of responsibility, but my community means the world to me and I just want to see them happy and healthy, especially during these trying times.
Christina Myers, it's been a pleasure chatting with you today. Any final thoughts?
Oh, thank you so much. So I just want to say thank you to everybody listening. You've been great. All of our patients have been fantastic. We're all in this together, Newfoundland is doing a fantastic job keeping our numbers low. I'm very proud of everyone. And just please get your flu shot this year. If you're on the fence, call your pharmacist. We're one call away. If you don't like contacting people on the phone, PharmaSafe has a great resource, pharmasafe.com. We have an excellent resource with lots of information there. If you're kind of thinking, should you get the flu shot? I'm concerned about it. Lots of frequently asked questions there. And of course, I'm always just one phone call away if anyone ever has any questions for me.
And go see your friendly neighborhood pharmacist, even though you might not be able to tell if they're smiling or not.
We try to do a lot of smiling with the eyes out here.
We're all practicing that these days, aren't we?
Yeah, sure.
Christina Mars, thank you very again for joining us on the show today. It's been a fascinating conversation. Have a great weekend.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And we'll be back on Monday. Our guest for Monday will be the new energy minister for Newfoundland and Labrador, Andrew Parsons, and we'll be talking about oil and gas in Newfoundland and Labrador. So stay tuned for that.